Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
And we're sorry because this episode is a day late.
It is, but look at it this way. We've never done a Saturday episode before, so look at it as a bonus.
Does it feel different? We're doing it 10 minutes before the football starts.
I like to think of it as like the best telly memories of ever, really, are from Saturdays, aren't they? Because you
Saturday
had Saturday
mornings.
Superstore. Saturday
yeah.
Superstore, Sarah Green.
Yeah.
I used to actually quite like Mike Reed back then. I thought he was quite cool and funny.
Well, we did because we were stupid and young, weren't we?
Yeah.
We didn't know any
I really
better.
Thought, oh, he is so anarchic. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And then he became a UKIPper.
Yeah. And we don't talk about him anymore. So,
no.
we're doing this. There's a reason why it's late. And it's because you've been away, Sam. And you got stranded in Spain. Mm-hmm. This is the first episode where I haven't really thought about preparing too much for it. Because I just assumed that it's just going to be a 30-minute rant about
what
you've endured this week.
Let's just get it out of the way, Avis Gate, right? Because a lot of people have followed this on Twitter because I've been tweeting a lot from Mallorca about what happened with my hire car debacle. And I, first of all, thanks to everyone who showed me support and everyone who joined in my unintended or intended, I don't know, dog pile. Onto Avis.
Yeah.
It was a dog pile. There was a dog pile on Avis. And I suppose I should feel grateful that, you know, people were willing to get involved in that. However, I mean, to cut along, I'll tell the story for those who didn't do it, but it's pretty boring, so I'll keep it brief. So I went to Mallorca for a few days and we got an Airbnb and some cheap flights just to, for half term, you know. And we rented a car. And I knew there was something dodgy with it when I started it at the airport because it was spluttering a bit. It took a while to start, which shouldn't happen with a hire car. But I couldn't, you know, once you're there, you're knackered, your bags are in the back, the kids are in the back, you just want to get going. So I managed to get the car going and off I went. And I drove from pretty much the south, you know, Mallorca, Palma's sort of on the south of the island, and I drove up to the north of the island, which is about an hour's drive. And anyway, it was all fine. The next one we got up with plans, excursions. Out for the day, go and look at some villages, shit like
itinerary.
That. Itinerary,
yeah.
Itinerary, all laminated it was and everything. I had it in. I'd handed all of the children a binder. Children, please read this at your leisure and familiarise yourself with the basics of our itinerary for the upcoming days. I do not want us to waste a single moment of our time here in Mallorca. Anyway, next day, car wouldn't start. I call the number, which I've never had to actually do before. So I call the number they give you, right? This geezer turns up and he couldn't make up. It was like Carry On Abroad. I mean, he was the most stereotypical. He was the geezer that you are picturing in your mind was the Spanish, when I say Spanish mechanic turned up an hour late with a tow truck. Now, what are you picturing? Don't tell me. Whatever you're picturing is correct, right?
Okay.
It was like he was played by Terry Scott, right? But Terry Scott doing a really sort of almost xenophobic sort of rendition of a Spaniard. Unshaven, you know. He literally had a fag on the go. And he started complaining at me in Spanish when he arrived because he'd been unable to find where I was. Anyway, it was me and my son were waiting at the car. And he tried to start it with the fag still hanging out of his mouth. And you know he wanted it to start first time. Classic.
Of course, then he could fuck off. Yeah.
Then he could fuck off and make me look a cunt. But it didn't start. Then it didn't start again. Then he shouted, "Batteria!" Right? He claimed it was a flat battery. And I thought, well, could be a flat battery, yeah. And he goes off and my son's going, where's he gone? And I said, he's gone to get the chargers, like, you know, the crocodile clip battery charger things, and he'll come back. And I thought, he's in one of those massive tow trucks that you wheel the car onto the back of, and he didn't look like he had many, like, in many things. I thought he'd turn up in a nice red Avis van, but
with toolkit.
We waited, and he came, he was ages, and when he came back round the corner, He had just a spanner set with him. Like, quite a shit one, right? Like the one you'd buy from Woolies. And it was at that point, Andy, where I knew then that I was in world. Until that point, I'd done the sort of, I'd tried to make out, I'm pretty cool, I'm relaxed. We're on holiday, I'm having a nice time. Sure, the car's broken down. Shit happens, right? I'm not going to let this knock my holiday off course. But I think, looking back, the moment where I started to go mad, which, let's be honest, is what happened to me, and everyone can see that, was when I saw the spanner set. Because I thought, a fucking spanner set. I mean, as you can imagine, I don't know much about car maintenance, but I knew that a spanner set was not the fucking solution to this problem.
Not if it's the battery.
None of it's the fucking battery. So he's gone under the hood, bashed about with a fucking spanner. Then he's disappeared again, and he's gone for ages. So then I go round the corner, find him in the cabin of his truck, and he's got another fag on the go, and he appears to just be sitting there listening to the radio. So I gesticulate to him from across the street, and he just looks at me and literally gives me a shrug, right? There, this and that. He gave me a this and that. So this is when I've gone from pretty chilled out, like, guy, you know, Alan Wicker, man of the world, just uptight, red-faced British dad abroad.
Yeah.
I've stomped across the street, and I don't speak Spanish, so I've just started shouting in English, classic. What the fuck's going on here, mate? And he's like, this and that, like that. And from what I can tell, he seems to be claiming that he's waiting to hear back from his, you know, office to tell him what to do. But I said, all right, my son's getting bored shitless and going mad. You know when, like, you think they're just going to throw themselves in the road out of boredom? So I went, right, I'm going for a walk up there to the chemist. Come on, I've got to get some paracetamol anyway because I've got a fucking blinder behind the eyes, right? So I told him I was going up the chemist and I'd be back in a minute. When I came back in just like a couple of minutes, he was loading my car onto the back of his truck. And I'm like, oi, what's going on here? And he goes, he gives me a bit more this and that Spanish, then makes me sign something. And then he gets back in the truck and just fucks off. Oh, he's fucking nicked my car. He's nicked my car.
He signed the form.
Yeah, I know. It happened in a fucking, I feel such an idiot. I'm like one of those blokes who gets fitted up. And then, like, so you know, like, in the name of the father, Daniel Day-Lewis signs all those things because he wants them to just leave him alone. Next thing you know, he's done fucking 15 like years that. Inside.
Exactly like that.
I felt just like the Guildford Four, mate.
Yeah. All of them.
I'll skip out a load of detail, but basically they fucked me about. They wouldn't deliver a car. And then they just said, yeah, you can have a replacement car. You've got to come and get it. And I was like, where from? I went, the airport. This is, by the way, this is 6 o'clock by the time they got back to me that evening. They'd given me the runaround all day on the blower. And I went, what? You've been giving me the runaround all day saying, wait, we're sorting it out. And now you've said you've sorted it out and I've got to come all the way to the fucking airport, which is an hour away, to pick up a car. In what? Get a taxi. What? I've got to pay for it myself.
Dickhead.
Yeah, you just tell us when you're back in England, you put in a form and we compensate you for taxi. I'm like, fuck me. So then I've kicked off. I think it was about that stage that I went onto Twitter. I took to Twitter and then it all escalated and I went bananas and I got more and more mad and they were just fucking winning. And, you know, they were just winning all the way along because they were literally just, this and that. Come on, chill out, English. You know, this Brexit thing. You're on holiday. So what? The car break? We take car away?
You have no car.
Relax. You've not got car no more. So what? Look at the sun. Listen to the birds in the trees, English. Come on. This is why Brexit happened. You're so uptight all the time. And I'm like, no, fucking hell. You got to give me a car. You got to deliver me a car right now. I'll go on Twitter. I'll tell everyone.
I've got a podcast. I'll talk about it on the podcast.
I'm going to tweet all about it. I work for the BBC sometimes. They'll be hearing about this. Sir Tony Hall himself. He's a friend of mine.
Alan, your job.
I'm going to tell your job about this. You won't be happy. And they're like, come on. Think of your heart, pussycat. You get yourself all stressed out. Why don't you go have a beer?
I don't drink alcohol, actually.
Oh, well, here's your problem. Here's your problem, English. You need to go have a drink, then you won't be so uptight. I'm like, fucking hell. Anyway, the worst bit of all of it, after I'd basically just gone berserk, controlled them for ages, and my kids are like, Dad, fucking hell, just stop talking about Avis all the time. And then I've promised myself, right, this is fucking mad. This is not healthy behaviour. I've fucking turned obsessive. I've been trying to work on this and not be an obsessive fucking person, not get uptight, right? Chill out. I'm sure they'll sort it out. Then I get an email. I check my Zoom account. Oh, there's a nice email here from Avis. This'll be it. They'll be apologising. So I open it up. This is like a few hours into my new Sam, turn over a new leaf. Stop getting so uptight. Stop tweeting about it. And the email says, Dear Mr. Delaney, thank you for returning your car to Palma Airport. And I'm thinking, I fucking didn't. Fucking matey it. Boy with his truck did, didn't he? Mr. This and That. Senor This and That. Right? Fucking probably a distant relative of Pablo Canugo. Right? And I've gone, well, I didn't do that. It must have been matey boy. And they said, however, we gave it our standard check over when it arrived, and I'm afraid we have discovered the following damage, which we have itemised on this bill. No. You owe us €320, mate. Oh,
fuckers. What damage was there?
No, they haven't. They said we've attached photos, I won't get into it, but there are no photos attached, not of the car. There were photos of forms with, like, badly sort of written fucking descriptions in Spanish that I don't understand. There weren't a scratch on the car, needless to say, when they took it away.
Senor This and That's probably gone at it with the spanners once he's had it loaded on his truck and fucked off with it.
Yeah.
Revenge. I've got this with,
what I do is, just before I return the car, I stop just a mile up the road in a lay-by, I get out of the spanners and I give it a bit of a bash about. That way, when you give it back, the English, oh, a bit of a moody cunt, to be honest, kept fucking asking me what I was doing just when I was having a fag break. Hey, bald man, very uptight, red face, always shouting, stomping about with his little boy. Fucking hell. Anyway, I smash it up and then he had to pay the money. Anyway, but, so basically, yeah, it wasn't healthy behaviour.
So I mean, how did it all finish up? Did you get a replacement car?
It's ongoing. So it's ongoing. I mean, they've cut off all contact with me. They've at one point their customer services or their social media were tweeting me DMs and being helpful, but I fucked myself over there because rather than engaging with them, I was like, you won't silence me by trying to DM me. I'm going to continue to complain about this publicly. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to silence me, aren't you? I know how you Spaniards operate. My father told me all about
silence
it.
Silence me.
The Armada.
So did you get a replacement car?
No, mate. I had to go and fucking rent a car from some moody, like, local off-brand car rental place around the corner.
Right.
I had to, because we need the car because we're in the middle of nowhere, see? So I managed to get one on the cheap from some other firm called Hipacar, who are the local Spanish mob.
Yeah.
Well, it was fine. And so, but I've had to, so the thing is, what I've had to do is, they've not given me a refund on the original rental, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I rented for 3 days.
Yeah.
So I've already paid that in advance. Then they've charged me £320 for some spurious made up damage to the car. And then on top of that, I've had to rent another car.
Fucking hell.
So when you stack it all up, the thing was, I'd gone on this trip because I thought it was super cheap. I got some super cheap EasyJet flights, you know, one of those little flash sale things.
Yeah.
And a super cheap Airbnb just to get away, getting a bit of sun. And it was really nice out there. It was very beautiful and sunny. It wasn't hot, but it was sunny. So it was nice. We actually did have a nice time. But, like, basically, all of the cheapness of the trip has been completely negated by that. If you think, 3 day car rental, another car rental, made up damages, it's a nightmare. So we'll see what happens. But in spite of all that, you know, it took one of my oldest and best mates, Darren, who's older than me, much older than me, and wiser. And he tweeted me this. He never tweets, but he tweeted me this morning. And everyone else, all the cunters, and I appreciate their support, have been going, yeah, go on, Sam, and lots of people saying this is outrageous and dogpiling Avis.
Yeah.
But it took my old wise friend Darren to tweet me this morning, and he just went, for fuck's sake, take a chill pill and move on. You've ruined your whole fucking holiday. And I read it, and I thought, who's this? I thought, who's this fucking cunt joining in? Telling me what to fucking do. I'll fucking tell him what to do. And then I saw it. I thought, who's this? Fucking Darren. Oh, it's Darren. It's my mate Darren. So I fucking texted him. I went off Twitter and I went, yeah, thanks for the intervention, mate. I needed it. And he went, yeah, you fucking did. He went, you're going to give yourself a fucking heart attack. And I thought, yeah. And then someone else on Twitter, quite recently this morning, while I was doing my 10K to try and chill out, as Ben Fardy has written, he's gone full Lampard. Never go full Lampard. And I thought, yeah, he's right about that. I have. And I thought, the truth is here is that I'm Frank Lampard and Avis Spain, because it was Avis Spain, even though Avis UK have been trying to help me out, Avis Spain are basically Bielsa. They're like, yeah, so what? Yeah, so what? We rent your broken car. Come on, this and that. And I'm like,
read the small print, pal.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do that, you know. I've got my consumer rights. For the time being, we're still in the European Union. And I have rights under the Constitution.
Hey, come on. So what? Yeah, you want car? Fucking get a taxi, mate, to Parma. We got car for you.
So, the fallout from all of this is...
You want to take your pill, pal? So, basically, day one, I lost.
Yeah, this time.
I've fucked with my own head and nothing else. And they're just there laughing. And Delaney's the cunt. Delaney's the cunt.
The fallout from this is, right, you're never going to use Avis again. Lots of our listeners are never going to use Avis again. What was the name of the local company you hired one from?
Hypercar, H-I-P-E-R.
There we are. It's a fucking
brilliant name. It's a better name than Avis, isn't it?
Recommend Hypercar. I was in Cyprus last year. I'd like to recommend Elephant Cars because they're the local equivalent.
Again, better name than Avis.
Again, fuck Avis. Go Elephant Car if you're in Cyprus. And if any of Avis's competitors would like to advertise on this podcast and sponsor it, we would be more than happy to take your money and sing your praises.
Absolutely. But also, I'd also like to say, if Avis wants to sponsor this podcast, we'd also happily take your money.
Absolutely.
And renounce everything we've just said.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if you want to sponsor the podcast, we'll delete this episode from the records and sing the praises of Avis as much as they want us to.
We are nothing clear. We are nothing if not absolute whores.
Yes, correct.
Jalapeño.
Hello, this is George Weah, the former footballer of the year. And I have a tremendous opportunity for you if you are a fan of Top Flight Time Machine's comedy stylings.
Do you have a pen? Listen to this. For only approximately £3 plus value-added tax per month, you can enjoy bonus episodes of Top Flight Time Machine focusing on the life and times of Roy Keane, the footballer who was not as good as I.
You will get advanced episodes of the Kevin Keegan Odyssey. I do not know who that is.
I assume he was also not as good as I. All it costs you is £3 plus VAT per month. And you also get all of the regular Top Flight Time Machine episodes with no adverts in at all. Adverts such as this one.
Where do you go to get this tremendous service?
Just go to patreon.com/Top Flight Time Machine or follow the instructions at the Top Flight Time Machine Twitter account, TF Time Machine. How can you possibly go wrong? Here's a clue. You can't! Subscribe or perish.
Jalapeño.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Jalapeño.
Let's have a look at the prediction league, because that's why we're here. That's fundamentally what we're about, isn't it?
Right.
You, of course, are 5 points clear at the top. We've got five Premier League matches that are on this afternoon and tomorrow. And we're also going to chuck in Chelsea versus Manchester City Carabao Cup final as a bonus prediction. So six games to think about. Burnley versus Spurs is already on, so we're not going to look at that one. Next one, Bournemouth versus Wolves, 3 p.m. today.
Thing about Wolves is, mate, and you said this from the beginning of the season, it's turned out to be true, they are an extremely decent team, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I say Bournemouth 1, Wolves 2.
1-2. I think this is going to be a nice open attacking game because Bournemouth like to go for it as well. I think 2-2 this one.
Cool.
And results bot says 1-0. To Geordie Land, we must fly. Newcastle United versus Huddersfield. I'll go first with this one. It seems like a gimme for Newcastle, doesn't it, really?
It does, yeah.
But I'm going to be a bit pixie-ish. I'm going to say 1-0 Huddersfield.
Fucking hell.
I think they did that last year. I think Huddersfield went up there and beat them 1-0 or 2-1 last season. So,
well, Newcastle
have got this new fancy Dan signing that they spent 20 million on, and they keep talking about, when are they going to put him
in? The geezer they've got from America.
From America, yeah. They go,
I put my reputation on the line. Remember I said, nailed on, this bloke is shit.
Yeah.
Look at him. Do you know what he looks like? He looks like a character being played by Dick Emery.
They've been saying this week, like, when are we gonna drop him into the first team? Are we gonna start him on Saturday, or shall we use him as an impact sub? You've paid 20 million quid for him. Put him in the fucking team. Start him.
Yeah,
Jesus.
You're fucking Newcastle United. You're not buying £20 million players and thinking, we'll see how he gets on.
We'll acclimatise him.
You mad bastards.
It's not like buying a goldfish and putting it in the tank where you've got to leave it in the fucking bag for half an hour before you put it in the water. Get him in.
Let's be very fucking clear, Geordies, right? This is your record signing. You broke your previous record, which was Michael Owen. I mean, fucking Michael Owen, who's been retired from football for about 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? You have pinned all of the hopes of your club to this one player. A player who, when he did his press conference, right, not only did he look like he was being played by Dick Emery, they gave him the smallest shirt they could find in the club shop, and it still looked four sizes too big for the cunt, right? On those narrow shoulders, the hopes of the so-called Geordie Nation now rest. Mm. Well, good fucking luck with that, because I can tell you, as I've said before, I'm no Sister Mary soccer talent spotter, but I know a fucking shit signing when I see one, because I'm a West Ham fan, and we've made more than most. And he will be a shit signing.
So, with that in mind, what's your prediction for this afternoon?
1-0 Newcastle.
Matey boy's going to score the winner.
And him to score. Yeah, he'll score.
Yeah. Cover all your bases there. Well done. Leicester versus Crystal Palace next.
Oh, fucking hell.
I don't know what the fuck's going to happen here. I'm going to say 0-0.
I'm going to say 1-1.
0-0, because I can't be bothered to think of any possible outcome.
Yeah, it's too confusing, that.
1-1 for you. On to tomorrow afternoon. There's four Premier League matches on today. So match of the day tonight is going to be just dog shit. Four matches.
Yeah, one of them's the fucking Carabao Cup final.
No, that's tomorrow. That's on tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Match of the day tonight, you've got four Saturday games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
I mean,
and the couple for last night, they'll show the goals for that we've all seen it already anyway.
Yeah, did you watch West Ham last night? Did you watch West Ham last night, Andy?
No, I watched a bit of it. I was on my way back from London.
You can't bring yourself to admit that you did.
I watched about 15 minutes of the second half. Once you were 2-1 up, that was it.
I think you watched it.
No, I didn't. You think what you want.
That said, it is the sacred Andy Dawson Friday night canon.
Yeah.
Friday night canning at Andy's, and there are other things that we all know you like to get done on a Friday night.
Music,
and they rarely involve watching football.
Music, documentaries and online arguments.
Antagonising usually sort of white rock fans.
That's what I do best. Yeah, come on then, Arsenal Southampton. Arsenal Southampton tomorrow afternoon.
Arsenal Southampton, 2-0
Arsenal. 2-0 to Arsenal, and I will go 3-0 to Arsenal for that one. I don't know why. Can I change my mind on that one? I'll go 2-1 okay. Arsenal. 2-1 Arsenal.
Alright.
And then tomorrow afternoon also is Manchester United versus Liverpool, the match that everyone always thinks is going to be great, but is usually shit. See, you've done it there, you've gone,
It's got an aura about it, mate. It's got an aura about it because these are, like it or not, these are the two biggest clubs in the UK. No, well, in England, right? Before the fucking Celtic fans get involved.
It might be good this time, though, because Solskjaer's back. It's not a Mourinho game.
Yeah, so that's true. But even in the old days with Ferguson and Brendan Rodgers or whoever, it was sometimes a disappointment. But the point is that even if it's not a big match, I still am justified in going, oh, because it is a big match, even if it's not a good match.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 1-1.
Right, yep. 1-1. I'm going to say 2-0 to Manchester United.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good prediction, mate.
Yeah, total
that is
prediction,
a solid
that.
Prediction. I admire that, yeah.
Yeah. You're a bit jealous of that now, aren't you?
I'm jealous of that.
Yeah, we'll see how that
pans
out.
But after the week I've had, you've got to put it in like this week because of the emotional and mental turmoil I've been through and all the things that have happened. Mm. I literally don't have the balls on me right now. I'm not in the state. I don't have the strength to make that kind of prediction.
Maybe. I thought your 10K run you did this morning would have washed away and rebooted you in the demons like the fellow with the tent.
It hasn't. It has a little bit. But physically, I feel drained now as well. So, I don't know. I'm not ready to make a prediction like that, but I do admire you for it.
Right. Hopefully, I'll take advantage of that then. And then, bonus match is the Carabao Cup final tomorrow. Chelsea versus Manchester City. Of course, City beat Chelsea 6-0 recently. So, that could happen again.
Okay, you
or
go
it might
first.
Not. I am going to say 3-0 to City.
I'm going to say 3-1 to City.
3-1 to City. My result spot says 1-0 to Chelsea. Okay, very good. That is the end of the prediction segment.
This is it!
I'll read a couple of bullshits out.
On the subject of bullshits, I want to do a bit of house... I don't know whether you call this, but I just need to do some retrospective bullshit.
Right.
Like, Geezer, we read out a bullshit about a bloke who said that he had told a girl who's into animals that he was a vet.
Right.
And he'd bullshitted her. And then a dog got run over outside just after he said this. And then he had to try and treat the dog. And we were laughing and all the rest of it. And he reckoned he had a dog stick and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I tell my children the bullshits because they find them funny and confusing.
Yeah.
And I said, listen to this. And my wife went, that is not fucking true. That's the whole story is too neat. It's too convenient. I told someone I was a vet. No one does that. And then secondly, just after you said it, she's fucking right. I thought, yeah, you're right about that. We've been fucking bullshitted ourselves. Mm. And then someone on Twitter tweeted us and went, that was a Seinfeld episode.
Right.
Now, I don't know.
There's a Seinfeld episode where George pretends to be a marine biologist. Yeah, but there's a bit of a difference.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I just want it on record that I don't fucking buy that story.
Right.
And I think the bloke's cunted us off. And don't, right, well, if you're listening, any of you, don't fucking try that shit on us again because we won't fall for it.
Whoever it was who sent it in, he needs to get in touch again and provide some kind of verification details.
Yeah. Documents.
Whatever he can provide to back it up. Otherwise, we'll name and shame him in the next episode.
Documents and testimonies.
Yeah.
News without news.
Right, well, that's all we've got time for in this truncated Saturday episode. There's football on and I'm fucked if I'm going to sit around talking to you all day.
On a fucking Saturday.
No offence.
Fair enough, mate.
Some news without news. Here we go. Mark's out of 10, please. Man in orangutan costume goes wild in zoo and gets shot by tranquilizer dart.
That's like at the end of Trading Places. where they dress Clarence Beaks in a gorilla suit and he gets shot by a tranquilizer dart.
Yeah. It's probably bullshit.
And then he gets bummed by a real gorilla. Which is, and that's supposed to just be a funny bit at the end, but it's like, although Trading Places is my all-time favourite film, I always think they went a little bit, they jumped the shark a little bit with that, because all the loose ends of that film are so neatly tied at the end, apart from Clarence Beaks, who is seen being shipped, I can't remember where, but to fucking somewhere on the other side of the world, locked in a cage, still in his gorilla suit, right, but with another gorilla that is, like, repeatedly raping him. And I just think, come on, you can do better than that. And also, how's he doing it? Because as far as I understand it, you don't get gorilla suits, right, that have a fucking hole in the bum area. A bumming flap. Exactly. I don't think that exists, but whatever.
I'm going to Google them later on. You'll probably get them. I'll Google them later on.
Ten.
Thank you. That,
yeah.
Second one. Nearly naked man covered in peanut butter visits Dallas dog park.
What dog park? Dallas.
Nine. Okay. And you like this one. Researchers create rat cyborgs that people control with their minds.
10, of course.
Fucking 12.
We've talked about doing... to breeding special super rats before, haven't we?
I'm sure we have. We've talked about a lot of things, so this podcast needs its own Wikipedia page where someone can go away and listen to them all and write down all the things we've talked about.
And all of our projects that we've, that we've outlined but never acted upon.
Exactly.
We had a long discussion once about who would win out of a cat and a rat and a bat.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in the World Cup days. Yeah. There's plenty more to come. Well, we've got lots to say, and we will continue to see it unfettered.
We've got many ideas, many thoughts, many notions, and many visions that we want to outline to all of you cunters out there. So just stay tuned, right?
Just stick with us. Believe in us. Right, that's it for this episode. We'll be back on Monday with a new one, and then all the usual shit again next week.
Keep it company.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.